ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्रीमद्भागवतम सेवेंथ कैंटो चैप्टर सेवन टेक्स्ट 22। अष्टो प्रकृतयः प्रोक्ताः त्रय एव हि तद्गुणाः विकारा षोडशाचार्यः पुमानेकः समन्वयः। अष्टो प्रकृतयः प्रोक्ताः त्रय एव हि तद्गुणाः विकारा षोडशाचार्यः पुमानेकः समन्वयः। ट्रांसलेशन एंड परपोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद। Translation. The Lord's eight separated material energies, the three modes of material nature and the 16 transformations, the 11 senses and the five gross material elements like earth and water, within all these the one spiritual soul exists as the observer. Therefore all the great acharyas have concluded that the individual soul is conditioned by these material elements. Purport. As explained in the previous verse, Kshetreshu Deheshu Tathatma Yoge Adhyatma Vid Brahma Gatim Labheta. A spiritually advanced person can understand how the spiritual particle exists within the body. And thus, by cultivating spiritual knowledge, he can attain perfection in spiritual life. The intelligent person who is expert in finding the self within the body must understand the eight external energies, which are listed in Bhagavad Gita 7.4. Bhumira ponalo vayu kham mano buddhi revacha ahankaritiya me bhinna prakriti rashadha. Earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence and false ego. All together these eight comprise my separated material energies. Bhumi, earth includes all the objects of sense perception, rupa, rasa, gandha, shabda and sparsha. Within the earth are the fragrance of roses, the taste of sweet fruit, and whatever else we want. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, Sarva Kam Dugha Mahi, the earth, Mahi, contains all our requirements. Thus, the objects of sense perception are all present in Bhumi, or the earth. The gross material elements are subtle material elements, and subtle material elements, mind, intelligence, ahankar, false ego, constitute the total material energy. Within the total material energy are the three material modes or qualities. These qualities, Satugun, Rajugun and Tamugun, belong not to the soul but to the material energy. It is because of the interaction of these three material modes of nature that the five knowledge-gathering senses, the five working senses and their controller, the mind, are manifested. Then according to these modes, the living entity gets the opportunity to perform different types of karma with different types of knowledge, thinking, feeling and willing. Thus the bodily machine begins to work. This has all been properly analyzed in Sankhya Yoga by the great acharyas, especially by the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna in his incarnation as Devhuti Putra Kapila. This is indicated here by the word Acharya. We need not follow anyone who is not an authorized Acharya. Acharyavan Purusho Vedaha. One can understand the truth fully when he has taken shelter of an expert Acharya. The living entity is individual, but the body is a composition of many material elements. This is proved by the fact that as soon as the living entity quits this combination of material elements, it becomes a mere conglomeration of matter. The matter is qualitatively one, and the spiritual soul is qualitatively one with the Supreme. The Supreme is one, and the individual soul is one, but the individual soul is understood to be the master of the individual combination of material energy, whereas the Supreme Lord is the controller of the total material energy. The living entity is the master of his particular body, and according to his activities, he is subjected to different types of pains and pleasures. However, although the Supreme Person, the Paramatma, is also one, he is present as an individual in all the different bodies. The material energy, in fact, divided into 24 elements. The individual soul, the owner of the individual body, is a 25th subject. And above everything is Lord Vishnu as Paramatma, the Supreme Controller, who is a 26th subject. When one understands all of these 26 subjects, he becomes Adhyatmavit, an expert in understanding the distinction between matter and spirit. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 13.3, Kshetra Kshetra Gyor Jnanam, understanding of the Kshetra, the constitution of the body, and of the individual soul and the super soul constitutes real Jnana or knowledge. Unless one ultimately understands that the Supreme Lord is eternally related with the individual soul, one's knowledge is imperfect. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. Bahunam janmanam ante jnanvan mam prapadyate vasudeva sarvamiti sa mahatma sudullabha. After many births and deaths, he who is actually in knowledge surrenders unto me, knowing me to be the cause of all causes and all that is. Such a great soul is very rare. Everything material and spiritual consists of various energies of Vasudeva, to whom the individual soul, the spiritual part of the Supreme Lord, is subordinate. Upon understanding this perfect knowledge, one surrenders to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva Sarvamiti Samahatma Sudurlabha. So I beg the blessings of all the Vaishnavas to speak on Srimad Bhagavatam for my purification and for the Krishna's glorification. So here, this purport, very much Prabhupada is talking about the different energies of the Lord. In fact, the whole series, we hear all these shlokas are more of a jnana kind of thing. Like a lot of philosophy has been discussed. So this is a very important thing to understand, that how important it is to have the full knowledge of all these things, of these 24 elements, and basically the relation of living entity with the material world, relation of living entity with the Lord, and Lord's relation with the material world and living entity. This is Sambandh Gyan. And if we know this Sambandh Gyan, then only we can actually start the process of Abhideya properly, where we want to again develop that relation. So Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, etam vibhuti yogam cha mamyo veti tattvatah so vikalpena yogena yujyate natra samshaya. That when he is talking about his opulences in the 10th chapter, so he is saying that once you understand these opulences, once you are convinced about these opulences, then what will happen? So avikalpena, without any doubt, without any alternative, you will perform devotional service. So here we are on the path of devotion, bhakti. So many times, jnana is not very much appreciated. People say that, what is the use of all this jnana, these books, this knowledge? But actually this is not the correct. The jnana, the knowledge which leads to devotion, or which assists us in our devotion, which is very useful, especially for a conditioned soul who has a relation with this material world in the mood of enjoyer, and he thinks himself as the everything, controller, proprietor, enjoyer. So to have the knowledge of each and every element and our situation in this world is very important. Like Janani Vaspu had come and he was saying that every particle, every atomic particle is acting against us in this material world. So in such a difficult situation we are in, and we think that we are controller, we are enjoyer, and everything should go according to my way. Like that day, Madan Gopal Bhu gave such a nice class. And he was saying there is always something lacking in this world. Because every atomic particle is against us, so how can we expect that things will go according to our way? So Prabhupada writes in the purport of this shloka, etam vibhuti yugam cha, He writes that when one factually knows the opulences of the Supreme, there is no alternative but to surrender to Him. And then he says, all this particular knowledge is required in order to increase one's interest in loving devotional service of the Lord. So if we really want to increase our interest in the service of the Lord, we have to go through all these shlokas of Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, understand them properly. And then Prabhupada writes, then one will be able to fix sincerely in devotional service. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as a Nimai, he started studying very scrutinizing the scriptures. So Jagannath Mishra developed great fear, his father. What fear he developed? He developed the fear that my elder son, he was very much developing interest in the scriptures. And because he developed interest in the scriptures, he became detached from this world and left. The same thing may happen to Nimai. So he arranged that Nimai should not go to school. So this is the effect of Shastras, that when person associates with the Shastras, with this knowledge, automatically he becomes detached from the enjoying propensity of this world. Similar kind of thing like when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Jagannath Puri, so Sarvam Bhattacharya also had a fear. Sarvam Bhattacharya had a fear that he's a young sannyasi, he doesn't know Vedanta. Jagannath Mishra had a fear that he knows too much of Vedanta. And Sarvam Bhattacharya was fearing that this is a young sannyasi, how will he maintain his sannyas if he doesn't know Vedanta properly? So indirectly we come to know from this that if we really want to be detached from this world, if we really want to be properly situated in our bhakti, then we have to have a full knowledge of how things works here. So that's why we cannot just totally neglect all this knowledge, all these books which have been given by Prabhupada. In fact, Prabhupada's main complaint was that his devotees were not reading his books. They were only distributing many times. So these shlokas, when they come, when the purport, this kind of purport comes, we think we have to just pass it on so that real lila starts and all that. It's with me also. I'm talking about me only here. But we have to work on it because knowledge is especially required if we are in the preaching mission. Because we have to meet many people who will be having opposing arguments. And if person is having opposing argument and a person and the person who is trying to preach and his Shraddha is very komal, as a Kanishtha Adhikari, Shraddha is very komal, very soft, and he comes under the influence of non-devotional influence, then what will happen? His Shraddha will get affected. He will start getting doubts about the process. He will start getting doubts about his own position, about Krishna's position, about the his practices, about the result, that no result is coming, nothing is happening. But when person has full knowledge that how the process goes on, even this nine stages of bhakti, ato, shraddha, sadhu, sangha, bhajan, kriya, natan, vritti, nishtha, ruchi, asakti, bhava, prem, that it's not just a straight line. There are so many in-between things are there at each level. So if we have knowledge of all these things, then it becomes very easy that, okay, this kind of phase is going on now in my life. Otherwise, it's very easy to get bewildered in this world. It's very easy. Because all the influences in this world are against us and they're trying to bewilder us. If we see the life of Vaishnava Acharyas, they were all highly learned. We see Ramanujacharya, Madhvacharya, even Shad Goswamis. Jiva Goswami wrote so many shlokas that nobody till now has written so many shlokas actually. And each and every shloka, each and every verse is masterpiece. You know, Loka Naam Hitakarino. Because of the welfare of the general public, what they were doing? They were scrutinizingly studying all the scriptures or taking all the jewels from the Shastras. To prove, to establish that how bhakti is supreme. Bhakti is not some sentimentalism. Bhakti is based on a very solid foundation of philosophy and jnana and everything. But that is not everything. Like Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Vedanta krita ved videva chaham. That the end of Vedanta means person should worship Krishna. So if our knowledge is leading us to worship Krishna, then there is nothing wrong in that. Actually, that is wanted. And that should be the basis. So all the big Vaishnava Acharyas, they were the big philosophers also at the same time. Like we see, we have this Govinda Bhashya, written by Baldev Vidya Bhushan. So this is the Vedanta commentary in our own Gaudiya line also. And natural commentary of Vedanta is Srimad Bhagavatam, which is written himself by the original author of Vedas, Vyasadev. So this knowledge is important because first of all, living entity doesn't have knowledge about himself. And living entity doesn't have any knowledge about God. There are so many misconceptions about God in the society. Like Prabhupada was there in the America and some disciples were talking about some guru, particular guru, and he was recommending his disciples to take LSD. And he was saying, if you take LSD, then you become God. Or you start getting spiritual realizations, or you come closer to God, whatever. Different kind of philosophies may come up. But he was something like saying that if you take LSD, you will get spiritual realizations. So Prabhupada was saying, then LSD become God. If LSD is everything, and when LSD is not there, what you will do? Then you are depending on LSD. It means LSD is greater than God. But here, when we see in bhakti path, ends and means are the same. It's not that by worshipping Krishna, we become Krishna. We keep on worshipping Krishna. We keep on chanting Hare Krishna. We keep on serving Vaishnavas. So the process itself is absolute. Only thing, we are not on that platform. We are not transcendental. So we are not able to realize it. But as person's faith increases gradually, step by step, what happens? He start experiencing the same holy name, the same service, much, much deeper sweetness in that. So there are many, many confusions about God. Like people say, one of the common confusion about God is everybody is God. Another confusion is that God is ordinary person. So either make God as ordinary person or make an ordinary person into God. These are the two main misconceptions. And they say God also can come under the law of karma. And you know, because Krishna did so many nonsensical activities, that's why he is now in different planet, which is not a very good place. So like that, they talk about many confusions because they don't have knowledge. And even those who say that God is great, very few people say nowadays even that also, but that saying God is great is also very superficial. Because if we start asking them that how God is great, please tell us, they will not be able to tell us. So Prabhupada was saying, no jigyasa, no inquiry that how God is great. They don't know the extent of greatness of God. In one lecture, Prabhupada is giving the example that if you have a $10 or $100 and somebody has a $1,000 or $10,000, you don't appreciate so much greatness of that person. But if that person has billions of dollars, trillions of dollars, and you have a knowledge that what it means to have trillions of dollars, then naturally you will get attracted to that person. So the problem in the society is that people think that God is also a like ordinary person, but he has some extra powers. Maybe I have $10, he has $1,000. No, there is no comparison between our opulences and the God opulences. In fact, whatever little bit we have also, that is coming from God only. And that's temporary, it's taken away. So God has unlimited potencies, unlimitedly beautiful, strong, knowledgeable. Like this story, one devotee was saying that Brahma performed tapasya for hundreds of years, and after performing tapasya, Lord appeared. And he said, Brahma, you performed tapasya, so what did you understand? He said, I understood you. Lord, I have understood you. I have understood you now. So Lord said, what have you understood about me, Brahma? So my Lord, I have understood that I cannot understand you. So it doesn't mean that we don't have to endeavor to understand Krishna. We have to try our best as much as we can understand. Like Krishna is so inconceivable. In one of the pore of Varahadev, if we try to pour the water of the whole universe, it will go inside and not overflow. And the same Krishna is bathed by Yashoda Mai with one bucket of water. So many things are there about Krishna's inconceivable nature. So it's very important for us to understand God, God's energy, soul, with a bhakti conclusion. Like Bhagavad Gita talk about five subject matter, Ishvara, Jiva, Prakriti, Kala, Karma. So these things are very important to understand. And then same Bhagavad Gita talks about, after discussing all the yoga systems, the relation with the living entity with the material world, relation of the Lord with the material world, sarodharman pritejya mamekam sharanam vraja. And then conclusion is manmana bhava madbhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru. So in the first chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna is totally bewildered, totally confused. Why? One reason is God wanted him to be bewildered so that we can understand Gita. But the thing is that if you see him as an ordinary person's point of view, he is actually bewildered because many times in our life, things goes ups and downs. Things doesn't go according to our way. So now situation is such that he is not able to decide. Like this one particular shloka in the second chapter where he says that I'm not able to decide whether to fight or not fight. Both the sides he feel like losing, you know, like lose-lose situation. I think this is the sixth shloka. 1 minute. Anybody knows? Here. Na chaitad vidma kataran gariyo yadva jayem yadiva na jayeyu yanena hatva na niji vishamam vimasas te vastita pramukhe dhartarashtra. Nor do we know which is better, conquering them or being conquered by them. If we kill the sons of Dhritarashtra, we should not care to live. Yet they are now standing before us on the battlefield. So he was totally confused whether to fight, not fight. And these things happens many times in our life. Not exactly fighting, but whether to take this decision or that decision. And if we dig the problem a little bit deeper, scratch the surface of the problem, then we will find that somehow we have so many attachments. They are not allowing us to take the proper decision. So when we read Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, and we understand our position, we understand God's position, God's control, how Krishna is in control of everything, then we can able to decide. If we are not able to decide also, we become patient. Okay, let's wait. What is there in the Krishna's hand? So same Arjuna in 18th chapter is saying, Nashto moha smriti labdha tat prasadat maya achyuta. Sthitosmi gat sandeha karishye vachanam tava. Ki hey Krishna, after hearing this knowledge from you, now what has happened? Nashto moha. All my moha is destroyed. Tat prasadat, by your mercy, by your prasad. Sthitosmi gasya, all my doubts have gone. Karishya vashnam tava, and I am ready to follow whatever you have told. So Prabhupada writes in the purport, moha refers to that which is opposed to knowledge. And real knowledge is every living entity servant of the Lord. So this thing we have to remind again and again. And Prabhupada writes, so to study Bhagavad Gita is to understand Krishna factually. If we really want to understand Krishna factually, then we have to read Bhagavad Gita. When a person is in full knowledge, he naturally surrenders to Krishna. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami writes in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Siddhanta Baliya Chitta Na Karalas. Iha Havite Krishna Lage Sudhira Manas. That this Siddhanta, this philosophy, to read, to understand, we should not do alas, we should not be lazy. Iha Havite Krishna Lage Sudhira Manas. Because by these discussions only our mind will become strong, Sudhira Manas, and then we can engage our mind and senses in Krishna's service. Otherwise, not possible. Prabhupada writes in the purport, the seed of devotion cannot sprout unless watered by process of hearing and chanting. So hearing and chanting involves the hearing the glories of the Lord, hearing our relationship with the Lord, hearing our relationship with the material nature, hearing Lord's relationship with the material nature, material world. And then he says, Chaitanya Mahima Jani Sab Siddhante Chitta Dhrida Haya Lage Mahima Jnana Haite. That by such conclusive studies, I know the glories of Lord Chaitanya, and only by knowing these glories can one become strong and fixed in attachment to Krishna. It's very natural. If some 20 people come from the forest of Africa, and you say he is our prime minister, or you don't say prime minister, you just tell him this one person is there, or talk about some special sport star. They don't know what is this cricket or football or anything. How will they appreciate that person? It's very natural. So we have to understand that how important it is to understand the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Like one devotee was saying that many times they sell the different articles of celebrities. Like this particular kerchief of Bruce Lee is 2.5 crore. But who is this person? What is his strength compared to Krishna's strength? Krishna's garland should be sold in 200 crore then. 500 crore Mahagarland. Because that is a special articles of Supreme Personality of Godhead. Similarly, Krishna's everything. So because we don't understand the greatness of Krishna, we are not able to appreciate his glories. Krishna's energies are so powerful, they are so self-sufficient and automatic, that Krishna doesn't have to do anything on his own. Parasa Shaktir Vivideva Shruyate. Sobhaviki Jnana Bala Kriyache. They are automatically working. Krishna has to just desire. Sankalpa Matrena Siddhi. He has to do some sankalpa. We do sankalpa, we do planning, we make notes also, we make computer planning also. Things don't happen. Krishna just plan. Krishna just desire, not even plan. Krishna desired there should be Dwarka, and there was Dwarka. And the thousands and thousands and thousands of palaces, and each and every palace had such opulence, so much opulence, that we cannot even conceive, we cannot even think about it. Many times in this material world, people say, such and such person, Murdabad, Murdabad. But just by saying Murdabad, that person isn't going to die. He's not going to die. Like a vulture in the sky, when vulture is flying, the vulture is cursing the cow. That cow dies. But if vulture curses the cow, cow is not going to die. So in this world, if we desire, if we wish something good or something wrong, bad for someone, it's not going to happen. Like in a court, if one person is caught and he's brought to the court and now judgment is there, so their local peon or clerk is saying, oh, don't worry, I'll take care. Nothing will happen to him. I'm saying, nothing will happen to him. His words have no meaning. But when just says, okay, you are released, that one line is enough. So it's all depend that how much power we have, how much opulences we have. So Lord's energies are very wonderful. And in the 9th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, this is called most confidential knowledge. Krishna first starts about himself by telling his relation with the material world. That's called Aishwarya Gyan. And why he says that? Because we can only understand material things first. We cannot appreciate spiritual things. We're seeing the only matter around us. We're seeing only matter, material things are working around us. So when Krishna is explaining his relationship with the material world in the 9th chapter, between 4 to 10 shloka, Aishwarya Gyan, that is his mercy. Those are materialistic. So conditioned soul is materialistic. So Krishna is first telling that please understand that even in this material world, everything is happening according to my will. Everything is under my control. And then he describes that how everything is in his control, everything is under his supervision, but he is not attached to it. He is not burdened by it. He is not overburdened by it. These are the 2-3 very important shlokas by which we'll understand that how wonderful Krishna is. Maya tatam idam sarvam jagat vyakta murtina matasthani sarvabhutani na chaham tesha vasthita. So Krishna says, by me, in my unmanifested form, this entire universe is pervaded. All beings are in me, but I am not in them. So this is one shloka, and the second shloka he says just opposite of it. Nacha matasthani bhutani paschame yogameshwaram bhuta brannacha bhutastho mamatma bhuta bhavana. And yet everything that is created does not rest in me. First he's saying everything is resting on me, and then totally opposite. What he's saying? Yet everything is not resting on me. So how do we understand this? So many times people just get bewildered. But this is what mystic Aishwarya. This is called mystic Aishwarya of Krishna. Why mystic? Because it's inconceivable. It cannot be understood just with material intelligence. We need acharyas to explain it. We need the proper explanation from the pure souls. And that's what Prabhupada has given us. So material world rests on his energy, but he is aloof. That is actually the essence here. That it's not like a person in the material world, like Atlas we see. We all have seen that Atlas. that he's carrying some big burden on his back. And what is happening? Oof, he's just feeling very tired and thirsty and all those emotions. But Krishna is not like that. Everything is resting on him, but he's aloof. Because Parasa Shaktir, he has unlimited energies who are all waiting in queue to serve him, who are all just waiting, not just one energy, like one big billionaire, and if he has only one servant, and all the time he says, "Are, particular name, whatever his name is, Raju or whatever, Are Raju, Are Raju." So every time he calls only Raju only, so what kind of billionaire he is? Billionaire means he has so many servants that sometimes king says, "Are, koi hai kya?" That he has so many that he doesn't even remember the name of the person. So Lord is like that he has so many energies that he has to just desire and things happens. So all these energies are taking care of the material world and the spiritual world, and he has only one thing to do. And what is that one thing? Just to dance, play, enjoy. That's why he is called No Minute Manager. There is one book in management, One Minute Manager, that where you delegate things and get the things done from others. But he's actually No Minute Manager. He just doesn't worry at all about anything. Perfect management. So Krishna has millions of universes, but he doesn't have 4, 5, or 6, 7 mobiles with him to take care of all of them. Everything is taken care by his energies. He has to just desire. Like sun is there, and sun is staying at one place, or the fire is there at one place, but from that place, all the heat and light is emanating. So Krishna need not to go everywhere. It's not that Krishna has to be here also, there also, there also. His energies are taken care, and he's aloof and he's enjoying with all his devotees. Why this point is very much emphasized in Vaishnava philosophy, especially Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva philosophy? Because many people say that when Brahman expands, when the God expands, then he loses his original nature. It's not like you have 100 diamonds or 100 rupees in your pocket, and I start distributing one to everyone, and in the end I left with nothing, or say 5 or 10. Krishna's energies are not like that. Krishna can expand himself into unlimited forms. Krishna can expand himself into unlimited universes, can come from his body, but still he remains the same. So that's what is the opulences of Krishna. That is the inconceivable nature of Krishna, which we can understand only when we understand that Krishna is inconceivable. Krishna is not like you, me, an ordinary person. Otherwise, he is also an ordinary person. So this Aishwarya Gyan, which is given here, where Krishna is saying that I am aloof, and he gives the example of sky, air in the sky. That air is always moving in the sky, but still, air has a freedom. So living entities have been given freedom in this material world, but the limited freedom is there, because they are limited by the sky, how much sky is. So this example is given to understand that how the Lord Krishna is detached from this world. Krishna is detached. It's actually a little difficult subject matter to explain me completely now here, this particular point, this example. But at least the idea is given here is that as wind is in sky moving, independent of sky, similarly living entities are moving. And wind, though in the sky, blows freely and independently, the sky restricts. This I just now told you. Just as the sky detaches from the movement of the wind, like wind is moving, but the sky is detached. Similarly, living entities are doing their work in this material world, but Krishna is aloof from them also. Krishna doesn't interfere. He's just watching. He's sitting as Udasin, neutral. So it's very difficult. Example is given. This I was hearing one lecture of Bhurijan Poo, and he was saying, any time in this world, when we take seva from someone, or when we serve someone, Krishna is serving all the living entities. He is providing all the facilities, but still he is not attached. But it's very natural in this world, when a child serves his parents, a parent serves their children, they become attached to them. So this is another special inconceivable nature of Krishna, that Krishna is although giving everything to the living entities, but is still totally detached. He is not affected by their activities. He is detached. So this is required very difficult. Even Nishkam Karma Yogi is attached to the karma, to his work. And then he says, in the 7, 8, and 9, And 10, Mayadhyakshena Prakriti Suyate Se Characharam, that everything is under my control, everything is under my adhyakshta. So what does it mean? That he is aloof, but he is working under his will. Automatically everything is happening. Like people say, na, in this material world, nature is working automatically. Everything is going on and on and on and on. Everything is going. Prabhupada was talking to one devotee, and he was saying, this shloka comes in 16th chapter, where the demons say that the cause of this world is karma. What is the shloka, anybody? Here. हाँ अप्रतिश हाँ काम शब्द काम से हाँ हाँ अपरस्परम संभूतम कि मन्यत काम हेतु कम दैट दिस काम इज द कॉज ऑफ दिस वर्ल्ड देन प्रभुपाद सेज देन इफ यू आर ए फिलोसोफर देन यू शुड आस्क व्हाट इज द कॉज ऑफ दैट काम इफ यू आर रियली फिलोसोफर देन डोंट जस्ट एंड विद दैट आस्क व्हाट इज द कॉज ऑफ दैट लस्टी डिजायर विच इज forcing the man to get attracted to woman and for the woman to get attracted to the man. And that, if you find that the cause of that lusty desire is there something. And then you find cause of that thing. And then you find cause of that thing. So ultimately, from any direction you go, you will end up with Krishna. Like this cause of this lusty desire, actually the Adi Rasa in the spiritual world, that is perfectly reflected in the material world. That this is the attraction between Lord and living entities. So Krishna is saying that although everything is working automatically, but ultimately I am the cause. And the example Bhurjanpu was giving in this lecture, that say I am conducting this class now, and I appoint one of the students to conduct the test every week. So this particular student automatically conducting test every week. But if one of the week, I desire that this week test should not be there. So automatically it will stop also. So all this automatic, but behind the automatic nature, what is there? The desire of Lord is there. So that desire, that cause is the ultimate cause. So this inconceivable nature of the Krishna with the material world, that how material world is working under his direction, at the same time he's not attached to it, he's aloof from it, and he's only enjoying. Like in our Gaudiya Vaishnava Siddhanta, it's not that we always call Lord as a Brahman, Nayak, and you know, in connection with material world. We call him in connection with the devotees. We address him in connection with devotees. Why? Because no government is proud of his prison houses. Is there any government who is proud of his prisons? So this material world is actually prison. So if you address the Lord in connection with this prison, it's not something great. So that's why devotees always address him in connection with his devotees. Shyam Sundar, Nandanandan, Yashoda Nandan. So Lord's relation with the material world, Lord's relation with the devotees, and even Lord's relation with demigods, that is all given in this 9th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. If you read the further shlokas of Bhagavad Gita in this 9th chapter, then Krishna is talking about that how if somebody worships demigods, then whatever they get also they are getting from me only. And what they get, they ultimately they lose it. And then he contrasted with the worship of himself. That if they worship him, then what happens? They ultimately get his abode, eternal things. And then he's talking about his relation with his devotees. That is the ultimate thing. So all these relationships we have to understand. That how if somebody develops relationship with the Lord, then what happens? Then he doesn't have to worry anything. Like yesterday, Vamsi Viharipu very nicely telling about Dhruva. So when Dhruva approached Suniti, so Suniti didn't agitate him that, okay, you also take revenge. At the same time, he increased his faith in Supreme Personality of Godhead. And how he increased his faith in Supreme Personality of Godhead? First, he gave the example. He gave the example of Brahma and Swayambhu Manu, that his own ancestors, his own grandfather, that they got success by worshipping Krishna, then why you will not get success? Why not go? So this is one thing, that when we hear the examples of successful devotees, then our faith also increases. So we have to hear the glories of Krishna in connection with material world. We have to hear the glories of Krishna in connection with his devotees. And then she says that Lord is Bhrityavasala. Tameva Vassashara Bhrityavasala. Mumukshubhirimragya Padabja Padditam. That The Lord is Bhratyavatsala. He is very kind. And she says, you came to me crying, having been insulted by your stepmother. But I am unable to do anything for you. So many times it happens. Things goes wrong and we have faith in many people. And we feel, you know, by approaching them, they will help us. But they say, I can't do anything. Sorry. Like Durvasa Muni, something went wrong and he started approaching everybody. Even up to Shiva, nobody could help him. Ultimately, he reached Vishnu. So then, Prabhupada writes, but Krishna is so kind to his devotees that if you go to him, then the combined kindness of millions of mothers like me will be surpassed by his affectionate and tender dealings. So this is actual opulence of the Lord. This is actual glories of the Lord. That where Lord is ready to do anything for the pleasure of his devotees. So we have to understand the Vedas. We have to understand the nature with the material world. Nature of the material world. At the same time, ultimately, we have to dive deep into the Lord's relation with his devotees. Because Lord's relation with his devotee is very sweet. And that sweetness only can make us detach from this material world. Otherwise, again and again, our mind will go there only. But unfortunately, many people don't give importance to Vedantic study, and that Prabhupada actually very much criticized in his purport, very much condemned that. We cannot behave like that. Like Prabhupada says, in the Gaudiya Vaishnav, Gaudiya Sampradaya, there is a Vedanta commentary. But there are some Sahajiya people, what they do? They consider these commentaries as untouchable philosophical speculation. They say, what is this need, all this jnana and all that? And naturally, they just start going toward the Sahajiya, means just artificially try to exhibit the symptoms of love of Godhead. And Prabhupada says, thus they clear their way to hell. Because they criticize acharyas and they become mixed devotees. They don't want to study what is the path, proper path. So the danger of not studying Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam with the purport of acharyas is that we will go to the Sahajiya path. We will get just superficial, bhava kind of thing, artificially. Like the woman that she doesn't have the child in her womb, but she's just making a show of crying. That because she saw that in the delivery ward, that one woman was very much crying, and she got a child. She's not going to get a child. So if somebody just externally cries, externally try to bring out some tears, he's not going to get the love of Krishna. So Vaishnava Acharya, Ramanuja, Madhva, Baldev Devbhushan, all those these commentaries, all wrote these commentaries. So we have to read these commentaries, we have to understand them. And this jnana is actually becomes like a catalyst for devotion. It's not that bhakti is dependent on jnana. Bhakti can be given to anyone and everyone. Like Narad Muni blessed Margari. But this is Kripa Siddha. But general process is that we have to study Bhagavatam, we have to study Bhagavad Gita, we have to associate with devotees and gradually all the 64 items of devotional service. And then when Krishna will be pleased by endeavor, he will shower love of God. That is also Kripa Siddhi only, because ultimately we can never claim to Krishna that now this is the, you know, payment, give me love of Godhead. So that is also Kripa Siddhi, but to attract that Kripa, we have to make some endeavor. And then Yoga Maya sometimes covers that jnana. That is a different thing. Just to make the pastimes of Lord Krishna more and more sweet. But ultimately, we know that ultimately thing is to loving relationship with the Lord. But that Yoga Maya sometimes uncovers also. That like we have seen many pastimes, like when Lord Krishna has appeared in front of Vasudeva and Devaki. So that time, they actually started worshipping Krishna as Supreme Personality of Godhead. Similarly, when Yashoda Mai had seen the Vishwaroop, seen the all the universe, whole universe in the mouth of Krishna, so that time also Yashoda Mai gets a little bit fearful. And she says, let me offer my respectful obeisances with Supreme Personality of Godhead, unto whose illusion energy I am thinking that Nanda Maharaj is my husband, Krishna is my son, and all the properties of Nanda Maharaj belong to me. So she started thinking that is all illusion and Krishna is Supreme Personality of Godhead, I should worship him. And then immediately what he does, Krishna? Krishna again covers her with the Yogamaya potency, so that he can again enjoy loving dealings. So Prabhupada writes, in eternal pastimes of Lord, knowledge of Krishna's divinity comes and goes. Knowledge of Krishna's divinity comes and goes, but always in service of bhakti. So this jnana is not just mere jnana which we are reading. This is actually leading to devotion. This is actually given by our own acharyas. The purports, Prabhupada spent sleepless nights, so many nights, so many years actually, to write these purports, so that our devotion towards Krishna can be enhanced. Hare Krishna, it's time. So thank you very much. I hope I didn't confuse you. Whatever I have collected from here and there, try to present. Grantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaur Bhakta Vrind ki. Gaur Bhakta Vrind ki.